Hello and welcome to Bookstore Explore, the show where we go behind the shelves with booksellers to find out what makes independent bookstores such magical places. I'm author Matt Browning, and my guest today is Samara Nickel. Samara opened notably a Book Lovers Emporium in Nelson, British Columbia, Canada in 2021. It's a bookstore and stationery store that was a lifelong dream brought to fruition thanks to opportunity and to turning 40. Now, that's something to which I can relate, which we talk about during the show. Now, this is my first episode venturing outside the U.S., and it's a fun and great conversation. So come along as we go bookstore exploring. Samara, welcome to episode 30 of Bookstore Explored. A little bit of a milestone episode, I guess, number 30.
Woohoo! Happy to be here.
You're my first time venturing out of the U.S. too, so I'm really excited to have you here.
All right.
You and I were introduced to one another by one of my previous guests, Fred Powell from Main Street Books, who was on, I think, episode 21. Really good friend of the show and a friend of mine. He's also helping me schedule with a shop in Scotland that I'm very excited about. We teased that we were hoping to get it done in January, but you know how scheduling goes. So listeners will get to that shop eventually. but let's talk about your shop. Now, the first thing I like to do at the very beginning is have my guest walk the listeners through sort of a physical layout of the store so they can visualize the space we're talking about. So walk us through your shop.
Yeah. So it's a pretty small store. It's about 500 square feet, and it's a corner spot on a side street in our small city. And it's lucky enough to be have windows on three sides. So it's got big front windows and then high windows along the side and a couple on the back. So it's got a lot of natural light. So it's really lovely lighting in there. So you walk in, and if you look to the right, you're going to see a table filled with lots of gifty items, stationery and stickers and pins and candles and things like that. So that's sort of like the gift side of it. And then the wall behind also has like mugs and journals and candles and luxury matches and other bookish gift items. And then if you sort of pan to your left, that whole wall, the interior wall, is all one long bookshelf. And then in the middle, there's another sort of double-sided bookshelf and some smaller shelves. So it's one big wall of, it's 14-foot ceilings. So it's nice high, and the bookshelves are 8 feet tall. And it's mostly, I'm teen and up, so I carry mostly fiction and a bit of creative nonfiction. So the wall is new and notable fiction. We've got Canadian, a big Canadian section, because I'm a store in Canada. And then your general fiction. I do mystery sci-fi. And I have a section called Happy Endings, where I keep my like romances, rom-coms, lighter reads. Especially these days, it's been nice to have a section where, like, you know, the outcome's going to be good.
Yeah.
And then a teen section that has like general and sort of fantasy thriller section in there as well. So it's quite bright and cozy. And it's a nice little space.
Now, having so many windows, does that also mean each one has a window display that you have to constantly come up with?
Just the front. So there's a little, an angled side window and then the main front window. And those ones are where the displays are. The other ones are higher up. So it's more okay. Just about letting light in. But the front ones, yeah, currently lots of paper hearts in the window. We're gearing up to Valentine's Day. But those ones I change probably like every weeks, depends.
I want to get into the inventory a little bit in a minute, but let's first start at the beginning, because you opened in 2021, right?
Yes.
So you opened during the pandemic. What inspired you to open the shop?
Well, I have always wanted to own my own bookstore, like since I was 17. And I worked at another bookstore in town for many, many years. Shout out to Otter Books. They're a wonderful general bookstore. And sort of thought I was like going in the direction of eventually taking over that store. But when I ended up having like more official conversations with the owner, that wasn't the case. And that's totally okay. Like we are on very good terms, but she had a different plan and that's cool. So I was like, well, this has been my dream. So I gave her lots of notice. Honestly, really was hoping that the pandemic was going to be winding down at that point. That was a very optimistic outlook.
Little did we know, right?
Look, little did we know. I had turned 40 and I was like, the timing just felt right despite the pandemic, like everything else sort of like was lining up with yeses. And so I just took the leap and the space came available and the building owner also owns a little store in that building. And she was really keen to have like a boutique bookstore in there. So it was, yeah. So I just went for it. I had a lot of really great community support, which was awesome.
I usually bring this up a little later on in the show, but you know, so many shops have opened during the pandemic. And I think a lot of people maybe realized that the traditional corporate 9-to-5 maybe wasn't for them. And let's go for our dreams. I mean, were you feeling that way a little bit too? Is that maybe a little of what sparked it?
Surprisingly, no. It was that the owner of Otters was wanting to retire at some point, and I wanted to give her time to have somebody else trained. And I didn't want to stay there and then be older and not have the energy and enthusiasm to do my dream. So actually it was more of a, like that kind of a timing, than that.
Well, you know, I've shared it, I think a little on the Instagram page, but not on the show, is that I'm in the process of opening a bookstore.
Yes, so exciting.
Kind of like you, I am 42. Yeah. And it was going to be a retirement dream, but I thought, you know, why wait till you can retire? Why wait till then?
It's work. So do it while you've got some energy.
So I feel you on that. How did you arrive at the name of the shop?
I had originally wanted to do something like bookish, because I wanted to have books and gifts for book lovers. Cause that's, I love bookish gifts. Yeah. But that there was a store too near where I was and they wouldn't accept that. So I was trying to think of a name that sort of embodied a curated selection of books, but also with the eye to stationery. So like notably is like, oh, notable books. Mm-hmm. And then also note ably. So writing well was my like honey in my mind, reasoning for it. And it actually just felt, yeah, it came together. And I was lucky enough that one of my best friend's parents own a branding company and they gifted me the logo, and the branding. So they came up with the really beautiful logo that I have. And I was grateful for that.
Nice. You mentioned curated inventory and I think you said about 500 square feet at the top of the show.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, with the bookish gifts and the books, how many books do you think you carry at any given time? Do you know?
I should have looked. I could probably tell you that number. I know that it's about like probably like 60-40, 60% books, 40% gifts and stationery. Mm-hmm. I'd have to look up the number.
But I imagine, you know, curated is the key word there. You got to be pretty particular. Well, I noticed you said you didn't carry anything under teen. I mean, spacing issues?
Spacing issues. And I was also mindful because the city that I live in is about 13,000 people. So it's pretty small. And we already have a big general bookstore. We have a children's gift and bookstore. And we have a metaphysical gift and bookstore. And then we have like your Kohl's in the mall, you know, your mall bookstore. So right. I was wanting to be really conscious of how can I fit into this and be complementing and not necessarily fully competing, because I think that's one of the joys of any bookstores is that we care about each other. And so I was like, well, I have a small space. I'm more interested in teen and up and fiction than in kids books and things like that. Like that's my area of knowledge and passion. So I was like, well, I'm going to curate to that and then also be a space for teens to come and feel like they have a bit of ownership of, and I'm definitely, I hope that I'm a safe space for the community in that regard.
Now, has the community, you know, embraced this concept, and are you seeing, you know, the teens come and feeling like they have a safe space?
Yes. Yeah. And that is one of my goals is to improve on that. But I do, I employ a high school student, and her cohort is quite fun. I think so. And I like to, yeah, just have a nice, fun space where they can feel like they can come and browse and shop, and there's no judgment on anybody.
I like what you said about, you know, bookstores kind of caring about and taking care of each other instead of really being looking at one another as competitors. So since you really tried to complement and not compete, what kind of books tend to sell well for you?
So we do a lot of hand selling. And I think that's one of my strengths, and my other employee Cole's strengths, is that we really like to talk with our customers and see what they're reading and then help them choose the next book. We definitely sell a lot of Canadian fiction. We sell, I would say, like, I think when I looked back at my top sellers of 2022, 90% of them were Canadian women authors, which was a surprise. Well, not necessarily surprising, because I do carry a lot of that, but was nice to see. I would say we sell quite a bit of fantasy, because we have a pretty good curated selection of it. And then, general fiction and just a wide range. I wouldn't say there's necessarily like one, you know, or two names that pop up. Which is the joy of smaller stores that you curate, because you can bring it, people can see other titles rather than just like the best sellers and have a chance to browse maybe some of the less publicized ones.
Now, did you find that maybe what you initially started out with inventory wise, I mean, did you hit the mark with your customer base, or have you sort of had to grow and shift as you've learned what they want?
That's a good question. I feel like when I opened, I just basically brought in everything I loved. And I feel lucky that for the most part, it's aligned, you know, like people come in and they go, oh, yes, 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 yes. But I've definitely like tried to pay attention and, you know, beefed up sections that seem to be doing well. And maybe like we originally had a philosophy section, and because my employee was like, he was really into it. And now it's not, so we've just sort of like blended it in with essays, because it didn't quite, you know, the space is so small to dedicate, you know, a shelf to just philosophy. But I think that's one of the things about independent bookstores, is that you do pay attention to what your customers are buying and are asking for and stuff. And that's how you build that relationship.
When you were conceiving the store, I'm assuming you carry only new book inventory.
Yes. Yes.
When you were dreaming this up, did you ever think of doing a new used blend or used books, or did you kind of know right away, like, this is what I want my store to be?
I knew right away, only because my experience has only been selling new books. And we also have two used bookstores in the town already that are quite established and good. And because of the space constraints, I was like, it's already going to be enough of a learning curve, like the other end of the stuff with owning and running a business, that I'm going to do what I know. Happy that I went that route.
Well, that brings up a good question, is, you know, what have been, I guess, some of your biggest, I don't know if surprises is the right word, but, you know, the differences between being an employee and now running your own shop.
Yeah, the steady paycheck. that has been probably because I'd managed a bookstore for like 8 years, the day-to-day running, I feel very confident in, but the back end stuff, that I never really had to worry about before. And I don't have a business background in terms of like financial stuff. So like the managing cash flow and, you know, like making sure that there's money for payroll and rent and those things that come up. And that has been definitely my biggest learning. But it's been good. I've got a whole family of entrepreneurs. And so I've got a lot of support and help in that area. So I feel lucky with that, but definitely still like still fine tuning. And I feel like that's like a constant. I've talked with lots of small business owners in Nelson and like the building owner, Kate, she's like, I'm 15 years in and I'm still sometimes, you know, going by the seat of your pants.
I imagine so.
Yeah.
Continuous like lifelong learning in this sense.
Exactly.
Of being a business
and you
owner.
Just, as long as the love is there and like the enjoyment of it, then it's, you know, it's okay to struggle along.
Do you get maybe
I'm not in it to make a big buck? I can tell you that.
the passion is the reason, right?
Exactly.
I mean, do you get support from other booksellers? Because I know, you know, Fred, who I talked about earlier in the show. Do you have a network, or have you developed a network of, you know, other booksellers?
Oh yes, absolutely. And even before I started, I had a network through. We have like a booksellers association, and we do like, you know, you can go to book fairs, and there's mm-hmm. we have a Western book fair, so we would meet twice a year. So other booksellers from the area, and I have two close bookseller friends who were really helpful in supporting me in opening this. And then I'm still really close to Letty, who owns Otters, and we support each other, which is awesome. And yeah, I'm very helpful. It's important to reach out to other booksellers, I think. And especially if you can, depending how you feel about like where, if there's other booksellers close to you, but ones maybe further away who can offer support. And then, you know, if there was any feeling of competition, you know, like you're far enough away that that's not an issue.
I was trolling around your website in preparation for the episode, and you got kind of a great web presence. What I guess role would you say that things like a website and social media are playing in the success of the shop?
I think a huge role that maybe the website. So I don't know if Fred has mentioned, because Fred's very analog. But we my point of sale and inventory system is called Book Manager. And they were developed actually in BC in the late 80s. And it's an inventory point of sale system. And they have your website built in. So it's all in one. And they're a fabulous company. But so the website sort of is built itself, and you just get to add your flavor to it. But the social media aspect is, I think, has been one of our best features in terms of showcasing the personality of the store, and getting people to know about it and having fun with it. I get comments all the time on people's enjoyment of the social media, because we have fun with it. I think that's the key.
One of the components of your website that I always love to see, and I love to talk about on the show, is staff picks. You mentioned, you know, that hand selling is one of your strengths. So I always like to ask, what are some of your favorite books to hand sell to customers, especially ones who come in and say, I'm looking for something to read, but don't give you much else to go on.
Yeah. Like,
what are your favorites to suggest?
If they're at all willing to read any kind of like magical realism or fantasy, lately I've been trying to get everyone to read House on the Cerulean Sea by T.J. Clune.
Great book.
It's just so lovely and wonderful. And it felt like such balm for the soul, especially the last few years. Like, it was just so gentle. So I always recommend that one. And then we, two Canadian authors, Susan Juby, she wrote out a YA book years ago called Alice, I think, that maybe was only, you know, really popular in Canada. I'm not sure, but, she has one called The Wolfield Poultry Collective, and it's about this young 30-year-old sort of like can-do spirit who inherits a farm outside of Nanaimo, which is on Vancouver Island, and kind of goes there being like, yeah, I'm going to have a market garden, and I'm going to be sustainable and I'm going to have this great life, and gets there and it's like scrub land and there's like one depressed sheep, but she's just like has the spirit, and it's a really, it's funny, but also caring. And there's a really fun cast of characters. So we recommend that one a lot. And then the other one is called The Wild Heavens, and by Sarah Butler. And it's set in our area, so southwestern BC. And it's about a woman following a set of tracks in the snow, which are maybe not fully explained. Mm-hmm. But then it's also goes through her life growing up on a lake in southwest BC. And just the way she writes about the natural landscape and the relationships are just so lyrical and beautiful that it's a really an easy one to sell.
Someone's recommended Chenada Louise Penny series, which is
yes.
Canadian author. Those are so fantastic. Do you sell that, those kind of mysteries? Do you stock that kind of stuff?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We definitely sell Louise Penny, and we sell, I'm not a huge mystery buff. I like a cozy mystery, if anything, but like Anne Cleves and Peter May, a lot of British and Canadian mysteries series.
Speaking of,
we have a local one actually as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I own a Wishaw, and it's set in like the late 40s and 50s in Nelson, where the store is at. And she's a wonderful, she's kind of like Louise Penny-esque in that way. Yeah.
Speaking of not being necessarily a buff in any particular genre, is it tricky, or is there any sense of like maybe pressure, for lack of a better word, in being a bookseller and feeling, I don't know, a sense of obligation to be a little well-rounded in your reading or not?
I do try to read more of a spectrum than I maybe used to. But I have no judgment when it comes to reading. Like I'm down for a good story in any genre, really. And I love a good rom-com. I love a good high fantasy. I love a teen, you know, fiction. So I just feel like as long as you're connecting with the story, it doesn't matter where it's coming from. I will admit that I'm actually not very good at reading award-winning novels or like ones that are nominated in the big categories, because I feel like everybody's reading them and I don't need to read it to sell it.
Yeah. I was going to say, you might not like have to. You don't have to have much knowledge about that one, right? It sells itself. Yeah,
exactly. So sometimes I like to read ones off the beaten path a little bit so that I can give them a voice.
You mentioned earlier, you were talking a little about your bestsellers from 2022. Is there anything that's really popular that maybe did surprise you, throw you for a bit of a loop? I'm like, gosh, why is this so popular? Or maybe not. Maybe
No. Yeah, not really. Because my door is so small and I'm still so new, like my quantities are probably smaller than you would imagine in terms of like numbers sold per thing. And because we do tend to like individualize our recommendations to customers, it's quite spread across. I was surprised at how many of the Woolfield Poultry Collective we had actually sold, because it's been out for a while. It's like 2014 or something, and it was a top seller.
What about, you know, with not a whole lot of space to work with, I imagine you have to be pretty particular. Are you able to host like in-shop events, signings, things like that?
Yes, and that is something that I want to start doing more of. I've done a few author talks, so If I move one of the tables, I designed it so that I can move it and tuck it in. I can fit 24 seats in there. So we've done a couple author talks, and I've also done like some letter writing nights. I have done a literary games night.
Letter writing night. Tell me a little bit more about that.
So it's usually about 10 people, and we did, leading up to Christmas, I did two. So like, you know, like come write your Christmas cards. You can bring your own stock, or I have supplies. We have tea and cookies. It's like $8 and you come. And it's a nice way, like if you're someone who maybe procrastinates about doing that, it's nice to come to a space where that's what everyone's doing. And we put on some like nice chill music, and it was a really lovely space to just like get your Christmas cards done or send a letter to a friend. And just, you know, be in a space where you didn't have to be in a coffee shop where like they're looking at you if you're there too long, or at your own home with all the distractions. So yeah, those have been really popular. We just did one last night, making Valentine's.
That's a really cool idea that I don't think I've come across in my bookstore exploration so far.
I think because I also carry quite a lot of stationery, like I carry fountain pens and letter writing sets and and a lot of really cool cards, that I was like, well, this is something that I can do in that line to open it up to not just readers but also stationery lovers. And yeah, it's been a fun one.
We're fairly early into 2023. Do you have any kind of cool things ahead for the year that you've started to plan out yet?
Definitely, I would like to do more author events, and I am hoping maybe early summer to start a book subscription. That was one of my like initial like vision plans for the store. So I'm hoping to introduce that. It's a lot when you're one person. Like I have me, one employee, and then a high school student who works Saturdays, and then she does a couple hours of social media with me on Mondays. So to like hold all of that and then think and implement other things is like sometimes
not enough hours in the day, right?
Yeah, and like brain cells.
No, usually when I get to the end of the show, this is my favorite question to ask, and it stems from the concept of bookstores being magical places, you know, which I've heard over and over for years. Everybody says that, so I like to dig in deep to find out what they mean by it. So when you hear that phrase, that a bookshop's a magical place, what does it mean to you?
I think because they're such, especially indie bookstores specifically, in my mind, they're places of community. They're just filled with so much possibility, because you walk in and there are a thousand worlds you can enter when you pick up a book. And there's something about that creative energy and that, yeah, I think that feeling of possibility swirling around, that there is something magical in that. And you can change your life by going into a bookstore, and you might not know that, you know, like you could read a book that changes your path. And isn't that fascinating? Isn't that magical? That's what I think.
On a recent episode, I sort of rephrased the question to ask that guest, and I'll phrase it this way to you too. As somebody who worked in bookselling before and then now has opened your own shop, do you still get that sense of magic when you come into your own space, or do you feel that you have, you know, created that sense of magic in the shop?
I do still, yes. I love my store. And sometimes when I'm closing at night and I turn off the lights and I've got little twinkle lights that stay on all night, I just like take a little moment and just feel really lucky that I got to like create my dream store and like love what I do every day. Even on, you know, when there's slow days and you're like, oh my gosh, there's still some, I just always feel really happy that I got to make it a reality. So yeah.
I feel like there's sort of an inherent magic. People have asked me, you know, have you ever been into bad stores or this or that? And not that I don't have favorites, but there's always something good in a bookshop, even if it's one maybe without much inventory or without much character. There's still magic there, has been my opinion.
Yeah. I think that and if not like full of magic, there's always potential. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So before we go, tell us where people can find you, because we talked about your social media presence and website. So share those handles in the URL with us.
Yeah, so the website is Notably, Notably.ca. And on Instagram, we're at Notably Bookish. And same with on Twitter, but Instagram is where we really shine.
And for those who might be listening nearby, what's your physical address?
Yes, we're at 454 Ward Street in Nelson, a very pretty little mountain town.
And it sounds like it's a bookish town, right? You said there's a couple of other used bookshops and some other...
Yeah, and I would love for us to become an actual book town. And we actually have a really wonderful book festival that used to be in the summer, and we're now just moving to the fall. So it's a literary destination.
Oh, nice. Those are my favorite kind of destinations, clearly. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for joining me today. This has been a lot of fun, and I'd love to come and see you sometime.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. And one day when I get to do my bookstore across North America road trip that I have dreamed of for a long time, I'll find out where you're at. Yeah.
Bookstore Explorer is produced and hosted by me, Matt Browning. Our theme music is Come Right Back to You by Max Hickson. You can follow all my bookstore explorations at bookstoreexplorer.com or on Instagram and Facebook at Bookstore Explorer. And follow us on Twitter at BookstoreExplr. Thanks for listening.